This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Chuang and Shaoning. Now, tomorrow is nomination day for the Tanjung PI by-election, and the election itself is slated to be held on the 16th of November. Barisan Nasional has announced that Malaysian Chinese Association's, the MCA's, Wee Jek Seng, will seek to regain his seat at the election. He won the Tanjung PI seat in 2008, and Tanjung PI is historically an MCA-held seat.
And Pakatan has put forth the architect teacher for former teacher and one of the leaders who set up Bersatu in Tanjung PI, an individual named Datuk Carmen Sardini, as its candidate. Now, the Tanjung PI division of Parti Bumi Putra Perkasa Melayu, Malaysia Putra, insists that it will contest the upcoming election should BN fail to run a Malay candidate.
Yeah, because they are keen to have a Malay candidate, knowing that the majority of the voters in Tanjung PI are Malay. Gerakan, on the other hand, surprise, surprise, they have entered into the race. They've been relatively quiet for a while, haven't they?
Did you say Gerakan? Didn't that party go the way of the dodo bird?
They didn't win any seats in the last general elections, did they?
They didn't. They lost their only seat, actually. Datuk Sri Masew Kiong, who was the previous plantations minister. So he lost his seat during GE14.
And how many seats does MCA have in Parliament now?
One.
Between MCA and Gerakan. Fantastic.
Well, they're both trying to come back.
They are. And Gerakan did say, so we had a Gerakan on the grill not long after, I think at the start of the year. And they did say that they would be looking inwards to try and reform the party. They weren't planning to contest in any by-elections at that point. But I guess it's the end of 2019 and it looks like they have revised that opinion. So they've thrown their hat into the ring as well. Now, we have also been running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, who do you think will win the Tanjung PI by-election? Now, we've had about 60 votes so far, and Bersatu or Pakatan Harapan is just marginally in the lead, with a 47% believing that they will win the election. 44% said MCA-BN will win the election. 3% voted for Gerakan and 6% for other. And for more on this, we also have on the line with us this morning Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Center. Thank you for joining us this morning, Ben. Now, for you, is this a high or a low stakes election? What exactly is at stake here?
Well, you know, this Tanjung PI by-election is in many ways a bellwether, an indicator of how, you know, Pakatan has performed in the state of Johor, you know, nearly 2 years into the new term. And in many ways, it is going to be reflective of the public approval for the policies as well as the presentation of the leadership of its vision of the future and how it has handled the problems that the country has faced since the past. And so I think this by-election in many ways will be a measure of how well they are accepted in a situation in places where they had never won before. And it is also in many ways a test of the cooperation between BN and PAS. Now that they have organized a Penyataan Ummah cooperation, and that PAS is going to have an electoral pact with BN or UMNO.
Ben, and since you mentioned the marriage of PAS and UMNO, how might the new dynamic come out to play here?
Well, you know, in Tanjung PI, PAS obtained somewhere about 2,000 votes in the last general election in May last year. And since PAS is not going to place a candidate there, I think all eyes are going to be on the 2,000-odd voters who voted for PAS in the last election, and to determine whether or not A, they are going to come out to vote for the MCA candidate, B, whether they're going to stay home, or C, you know, some of them may turn out to vote for the Malay candidate fielded by Bersatu. So I think all eyes are on the dynamics imposed by PAS on its membership or its supporters in the state. That's number one. Number two, it's also the nature of the cooperation, whether or not PAS is going to turn out in full force to support the campaign efforts in the state. Historically speaking, PAS has not really had a very strong presence or performance in Johor in the past, but I think things may slowly change now that UMNO is significantly weaker and PAS is on the upsurge following its retention of Kelantan and giving back Terengganu.
Yeah, and Ben, what are the issues most pressing for voters in Tanjung Piai?
Like in many other places across the country, Tanjung Piai is a semi-rural constituency where large numbers of its population rely on the agriculture industry, whether it is the fruit planting in Pekanana, so maybe some fisheries in Pukup state constituency. We have, I would say, a fairly semi-rural setting, and there the issues pressing on them are relatively the usual cost of living issues, access to better infrastructure, and also financial aid for the farming and the fishing community out there.
So Tanjung Piai itself was kind of a marginal win in GE14. So what's your sense of the sentiment on the ground in Tanjung Piai currently? Were they satisfied with the incumbent's performance prior to the events which caused the by-election?
Well, I think when we spoke to some voters from Tanjung Piai, we obtained fairly mixed views in the sense that they did not really have significantly negative sentiments towards the former incumbent, the late incumbent, but nor were they very well versed with him, partly because, you know, he was only into 18 months of the term and then he unfortunately passed away. So voters were not really familiar with him. But however, the family, as well as himself, is quite well spoken of by the local people. And so I think that adds to some advantage to PDH and Bersatu there. And secondly, I think the new candidate that's been fielded is also relatively well regarded by the local population that knows him. So, you know, in some ways, the candidates are not bad, you know, in the sense that they might add a bonus to the performance of the party.
So, Ben, what are your expectations as we head into this by-election? Who do you think will finally win?
It's very hard to tell, partly because it's so marginal. So I think, you know, it's both sides have the chance of winning in this particular election. You know, PH, theoretically, has a slight advantage, partly because they are incumbents and they are also in the state government as well as in the federal government. So, you know, as we've seen in many by-elections in the past, you know, you'll see many of the big guns will turn out to, you know, canvass support for the public out there. Number two, we have, I would say, on both sides, people, parties are fielding good candidates that are well regarded by the local population. I think what will be interesting to see is, you know, the turnout, the voter turnout amongst voters there. So we do have sizable numbers of younger voters that vote in Tanjung Piai, but don't necessarily reside there, just to see whether or not they come back to vote there from GB, from Singapore and whatnot. So that's interesting to see. And that's probably going to influence the outcome as well. So I think as my prognosis is right now, it's hard to say. It could go either way. You know, a slight advantage to PH, partly because of the incumbency, but it is also a strong Barisan National seat where they have held the seat since independence. And they have also fielded a very strong candidate.
All right. Thank you very much, Ben. And that was Ibrahim Sufian of the Merdeka Centre with his thoughts heading into the Tanjung Piai by-election, because it is nomination day tomorrow. And so far, we know that at least three candidates will be fighting it out for the seat. Gerakan's candidate, they've fielded their Deputy Secretary General, Wendy Subramaniam, and she is a lawyer from Johor. But one never knows who else will turn up on nomination day.
Yeah, actually, I did some research. Tanjung Piai is actually at the western southernmost tip of the Johor State. It's really, really like, it's like a triangular shape of land, which I would liken to Land's End in the UK, but it's not the southernmost portion. As Ben was saying, it is very rural and lots of agriculture there. So it's actually quite interesting why BN chose to field MCA's candidate rather than their own in UMNO division candidate. I think UMNO division leaders wanted a guy called Dato' Jeffrey Dan Atan to contest, but it was quite strange that they didn't and go with UMNO.
Yeah, and it is a Malay majority seat as well, if I'm not mistaken. So interesting that MCA would have been the choice here.
Well, that's because he did win the seat in 2008. So he's a familiar name to the locals there. And if you actually look and you do a deeper dive in terms of the voting registered voters, it really cuts across ethnicity and also gender, because it's about 57% Malay, 40% Chinese, and about 1% Indian. And it's evenly split between male and female. Like, and Ben says, this time around, there are going to be a lot of younger voters, and it'll be interesting to see how they vote. And although, is this the first election where the 18-year-olds can vote? I think it is, isn't it?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken, it is. The EC chairman, Adharan, has weighed in to say that 18-year-olds are able to vote in Tanjung Piai, if I'm not mistaken. So that should be an interesting addition to the dynamic as well. And I guess for me, the bigger question is, you know, as you mentioned, Wee Jek Seng is a familiar name to the electorate in Tanjung Piai, but he did lose the seat as well. So you kind of wonder, what did he do or what didn't he do that he lost the support initially, and whether or not he thinks that he can actually regain that support in this by-election.
Well, we'll find out in the middle of November when they do go to the polling booth.
Indeed. And do let us continue to let us know what you think on the poll we have running on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. Right now, though, we are heading into the 8 o'clock news. And after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Shariat Abdullah speaks with Philippe Generali, president of RCS and Media Monitors. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.